the unholy Trinity. And someone will say, well, what does this have to do with me? Although this will reach its climax during the future time, the time of Jacob's troubles, the time of the great tribulation, this is a reality today. This has been a reality since the dawn of time. There is a false God who is trying to garner the worship due the true God. And the sad thing is that most people follow him. The problem is that we live in a society that thrives on the spectacular. Have you ever seen during Sweeps Week the kind of thing that the local news will do? They come up with all these exposés for sweep weeks. And one of the ones, I think for like 3 years straight during Sweeps Weeks, this is what they had. It was Satan in the suburbs. About devil worship in the suburban areas. And they go to some place like Vineland or places like that where there's all these chickens being cut up. And yes, it does go on right here in South Jersey. In fact, it's very popular. But you know, you don't have to find people that are outside cutting up chickens to find Satan worshipers. They wear business suits. They wear school clothes. Because ultimately, every person who does not give their heart to Jesus Christ is by default worshiping Satan. And so we have John, the author of Revelation, pausing in his description of the judgments that God will bring to show us what's behind the scene. And I thank God that he pulls back the curtain for us, because this is stuff we would never know on our own. We cannot see into the invisible world, but God pulls back the curtain and he allows us to see what is behind the veil. And so we have Revelation chapter 12. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Who is that woman? Israel. How do we know that woman is Israel? More than that. Remember Joseph's vision? His dream? What was Joseph's dream? The sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to him. And who was the sun? Jacob. Who was the moon? His wife. Who were the stars? The 12 tribes. This is Israel. She was pregnant, cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 crowns and 7 crowns on his head. And his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. Who is the child? Jesus. What is the event that this is talking about? Herod and the destruction of the children. She gave birth to a son, the male child, who is to rule, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. What's this? The resurrection. And the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God that she might be taken care of for 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. The ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night was hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. And when the devil saw that he'd been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to a place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of for a time and times and a half time or 3.5 years out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. We will read more in a few moments, but let us pause to ponder the first of this unholy Trinity. Here in Revelation chapters 12 and 13, we have described the unholy Trinity, the mockery of the true God. And it begins with the fake father, the dragon, or Satan. And we learn a lot about Satan in this passage, things that we would know nothing of were it not for these verses. First of all, we know Satan's reach originally. Verse 4 describes the devil or Satan, and we know that this is Satan because it says specifically that in verse 9. It says in verse 4 that his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. Now, remember Revelation chapter 1, what's a star? An angel. So, when Satan rebelled against God, one third of all the angels followed after him. Now, we don't know how many angels there are, but we know that they number at least in the hundreds of millions, if not more. So Satan, often people will say, well, the devil did this, the devil did that. Let me say that it is probably likely that none of us have ever had firsthand contact with Satan. None of us have been directly affected by Satan himself. I do not believe that any of us, although heaven may declare otherwise, are of such stature in the kingdom of God that we merit the attention of Satan, the king of demons. But there are demons that are under Satan in a well-defined rankage. And I would also say, without fear of being wrong, that every single one of us have a demon that is personally assigned to us. That demon has been with us since before we were born. That demon knows everything about us. Everything we've ever done in any private moment, things that no human being knows, things that we would be aghast to tell in public, those demons know and use to plot our ruin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that God's angels are ministers sent to those who will inherit eternal life. There are such a thing as guardian angels. And every person who at any point in their life will become a believer, every one of them gets a guardian angel. Otherwise, the devil would probably conspire to kill that person before they could be saved. But the Bible also speaks of familiar spirits. And familiar spirits are demons assigned to us that try to tempt and destroy us at every turn. So that demon knows exactly every weakness that we have. I often hear people saying, well, I'll get right after I deal with this or that or the other thing. You'll never deal with the this, the that, or the other thing until you really get right with God, because the devil will continue to make sure, that demon will continue to make sure. I've had people say, well, you know, it's really hard to get up on Sunday, but every time I get up on Sunday, there's a fight in the house, so I never go to church. Well, that demon will make sure there's always a fight in your house. Because until he finds out that it won't work, he'll use it as his weapon. Oh, we always want to go out to breakfast on Sunday, so we never make it to church because it's always late. The breakfast always seems to be late in coming. That demon will make sure that breakfast, the eggs burn or the bacon fries or whatever it is, they'll do anything in their power to influence us. And Satan has a third of them. Now let's turn that around though, because here's the good news. If Satan has a third of the angels, guess what? He's outnumbered 2-1 and God isn't even in the equation yet. We will find out that not only does he have a third of the angels, but he says, it says clearly, there was a war in heaven. Now, maybe you cannot picture heaven as having a war, but the Bible says, because heaven's going to be a perfect place, but the Bible says there was a war in heaven. Or there will be a war in heaven. Why is it that God does not allow sinners into heaven, unrepentant sinners? Why doesn't God just take everybody to heaven? Because if God took everyone to heaven, there would never stop being a war. People who fight against God in this life, just because they died, that wouldn't turn their heads. The devils, every one of them, every one of those demons, they saw the glory of God, but they chose to rebel. And there was a great war. Verse 7 says, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back. Notice that God didn't even take part in this war. My Bible doesn't say, and God fought anywhere, does it? If God would have lifted a finger, the battle would have been over. But this was angel against angel. Demon against minister of God. But I want you to notice something, verse 8, but he, the dragon, was not strong enough. Even angel against angel, Satan was defeated. There are some that worship Satan and go, oh, Satan, all-powerful prince. No, Satan isn't all-powerful. Now, he's more powerful than you or I. Every demon that follows him is more powerful than you or I on a scale that we can't even imagine. But compared to God, his power is not even a fingernail clipping. And even compared to the angels who remained faithful, he wasn't strong enough. And they were cast down. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Now there's a question, when does this take place? Is it in the past? Is this war in the past or is it in the future? Well, there are some who say it's in the past. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus says, Luke 10, 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, Jesus says, I saw, past tense, that when Jesus walked this earth, it had already been accomplished. I saw, past tense, Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Which would seem to imply that this war took place long ago. 2 Timothy 2:4. 2 Timothy 2:4 talks about the angels who did not keep their original estate. 2 Timothy 2:4. But it says, God did not spare the angels when they sinned, past tense, but sent, past tense, them to hell, putting them in gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. So from these two verses, we could conclude that this war in heaven took place a long time ago. And yet, Revelation says this in verse 12. It says, the end of verse 12 in Revelation 12, but woe to the earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is, present tense, which John was seeing in the future, he is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. He knows his time is short. This would imply that this war takes place in the future. How do we reconcile these two things? I believe that this war is an ongoing war and that there are two phases of it. There is both a past phase of the war in heaven and there is a future phase of the war in heaven. Now, please follow with me. I'm getting a little technical here. But these are things you say, why are we studying this? This is because we need to understand our enemy. The Apostle Paul says, we are not ignorant about Satan's devices. There was a war long ago. It began long ago that Satan was expelled from heaven as his domicile. Before Satan sinned, he lived in heaven. It was his domicile. It was his place of residence. And when Satan and his one-third of the angels sinned, they were thrown out of heaven as their living place. They no longer have a heaven address. They no longer have a house on Heaven Street. But Satan's visitation privileges were not entirely revoked. We see glimpses of this in the Scripture, especially Job chapter 1. When the angels gathered together to worship God, the devil came with them. And he began a conversation with God. And so, from the beginning, when the devil and his demons were cast out of heaven, to this present day, Satan has still had visitation rights. And you know who gave him those visitation rights? We did. Because what is his job? Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of the brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night. Who gives Satan visitation privileges in heaven? You and I. Every time we sin, Satan gets to run up there and go, look at that. See what he did? See what she did? Because you see, God gave to humanity the title of Lord over the earth. Genesis 1:28. You will be Lord over the earth and over all the animals. and all the plants and everything in the earth is yours. That's what God said, Genesis 1:28, 29. But when man sinned, specifically when Adam sinned, he transferred his allegiance from God to Satan, and Satan became the ruler of this world. And as such, we became his subjects, accountable under God. That's why every time we sin, he has the right to tattle on us. So every time you or I sin, we give Satan access to heaven one more time. As he runs up there and rubs in God's face the failure of his people. Oh, but thank God we don't just have an accuser. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, we don't just have an accuser. Who else do we have? I write these things, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, I write these things to you so that you do not sin. But if we sin, notice it doesn't say but. When we sin, it says but. You know, we've bought the lie from the devil, oh, you have to sin, just give in. You'll sin sooner or later, why not make it now? But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so every time Satan appears before the Father to tattle on the children, all we have to do is, but if you'll confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. When we confess that sin, Jesus goes, excuse me, Your Honor, I know everything the prosecutor said is true. Yep. They did it. My blood covered it. Covered it all. Oh, what a glorious thing it is that we have an advocate. And yet, still the devil has visitation privileges, and our sin gives him that. But there will come a day when that visitation is revoked. And that is the second phase of this war. And that is the thing that has yet to occur. Now, I don't know when it will occur. Does it occur at the rapture? Since all of God's people, those who are truly His, are removed from the earth and perfected in the blink of an eye? And so, therefore, He no longer has any cause to appear before the Father? I don't know. But there will come a day when God says, Michael, bar the doors, he's never coming in again. And Michael and the angels of heaven will turn out in force, and Satan and his angels will approach the gates as he's done a trillion times before to bring and wave in God's face the sins of his people, and he will be greeted with an army with drawn swords, and he will be turned back. And the war will be over for heaven. And on that day, it will be true. Verse 12, but woe to you, but rejoice therefore, Revelation 12, 12. You heavens, and you who dwell in them, Satan will never visit again. Rejoice! Your battle's over forever. But woe to you, earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you and he is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day of rejoicing and glory. What a day of horror for the earth. We need to talk one more thing Well, my goodness, our time is rushing on. We need to talk one more thing about this dragon, this false father, this head of the unholy Trinity, and that is his hatred of the Jews. Satan has always hated the Jews since God spoke to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. And he has done everything in his power to destroy them again and again. Has there ever been, it seems, an empire that has arisen that has not sooner or later persecuted the Jews? Has there ever been a place that they went to where they were not persecuted? And in fact, the first great nation to ever take in the Jews without persecuting them is the United States of America. And could it be that God's graciousness to us in not bringing final judgment in spite of the depth of sin in this nation today, the open sewer of filth that we are pouring out to the world, the reason that God has not raised his hammer in judgment and smashed us to powder is because of that one fact. And that's why it is so dangerous that our current president is weakening those ties of strength with Israel. And despite every promise he made to the Christian community about how he was this and he was that, he lied through his teeth. And so many people that call themselves Christians did not see through his lies even before and continue to be under his lies today. But Satan hates the Jews. Anti-Semitism has its flow from Satan. Notice what it says. Revelation chapter 12. She, Israel, was pregnant and cried out in pain. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon. The dragon, the middle of verse 4, stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so he might devour her child. Satan has never had any love for this. Notice it goes on and says, verse 6, the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. He has always pursued the woman. Verse 13, when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Who is it that was behind the Spanish Inquisition of the Jews? It was not the Christians. It was Satan. And the fact that the people who called themselves Christians followed him is only proof they were not Christians. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Do not be amazed that his ministers pretend to be ministers of the gospel. Who was it that inspired Hitler with his demonic power? Satan. Who was it that allowed him to triumph over his rivals and rise to power in Germany? Satan. Who was it that gave him the evil cunning to almost conquer the world? Satan. He has always pursued the woman. And so therefore, true Christians do not hate the Jews. True Christians are not anti-Semitic. True Christians do not persecute Jews or talk about the evil Jew. True Christians recognize they are God's chosen people, and they are a people that God will once again work through in days that are to come. And God will preserve the Jewish people with our help or without it. But Genesis 12:1 is still in effect. You know what Genesis 12:1 says? Genesis 12:1 and 2. God came to Abraham and said, "Abraham, I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing to all the nations." And he is, because out of Abraham, Jesus was born. And those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. Can you answer me one question from the natural? Why is it that the Arab world, with all the billions and billions and billions of barrels of oil they sit on, with oil being the unsightly cost that it is today, why it is that they have not turned their lands into a heaven on earth? Why they don't have peace and prosperity for all their people? With all these billions of dollars and euro and yen and everything else flowing into the Arab world, why it is that they haven't been able to prosper? Because God said, "I will curse those who curse you." And they're under a curse. And as long as they continue to curse Israel, that curse will remain. And sadly, they don't recognize it, but it's true. Why is it that Europe, they've done everything. They've tried to come together and they've tried to do all, but they can't get their economy running. Despite all their gathering together and forming their economic European Union and all those things, they're limping along. Why? Because they continue to curse Israel. Why is it that Russia, the old Soviet Union, for all their power and all their nukes and all their military, fell apart? Because they cursed Israel. And why is it that Russia today, despite all of its oil revenue and all of that, can't get traction? Because they continue to curse Israel. You see, God says, "I'll curse those who curse you." Satan hates the Jews. He tries to destroy them again and again and again. It was Satan that inspired the Holocaust. It is Satan that would have another Holocaust today were he not held back by the power of God. This is the fake father, the head of the unholy Trinity. But he is not alone. There are two more members of this false Trinity. And we do not have time to, I had originally thought to get through this all today, but we do not have time. Today, we will only name them, and then next week we are going to go into detail, more detail. I'd hope to go on to new things in prophecy next, or in the end times, but we're going to take time to really go over this. I said I wouldn't rush it, and I'm not going to. But we're going to name the other two. If you draw a triangle, and the best way to picture this is to draw a triangle. At the top of the triangle is the Father. And the false father is Satan, the dragon. At the right hand of the triangle, and I'd usually use the right side of the triangle just because the Bible says that he sits at the right hand of the majesty on high, is Jesus the Christ. And along with him, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, is a person who is called by many names in the Scripture, but let me give them some of them to you today. He is called in Revelation chapter 13, the beast from the sea. He is called the beast from the sea, Revelation 13. He is called in many places, but especially 1 John, the Antichrist. He is called in 2 Thessalonians, the lawless one. He is called in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the prince who will come. He has many names, but one character. He speaks with the mouth of the dragon. And we'll look at him in greater detail next week, this Antichrist. And Revelation, let me give you one more. In Revelation 6:1, he is called the rider of the white horse. Revelation 6:1 and 2. We will look at this Antichrist, this lawless one, this prince who will come. And then on the left hand of the triangle is the Holy Spirit. At the top of the triangle is the Father. At the right hand of the triangle is the Son, Jesus the Christ. At the left hand of the triangle is the Holy Spirit. And there is a false Holy Spirit known as the false prophet. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 18. And it is this false prophet that sets up a worldwide religion that is linked to a mark on the hand or the forehead, the mark that people everywhere in America used to know all about, but many today haven't even heard of any longer, the mark of the beast, which is 666. And it is these three beings, the devil, an angelic being fallen from his original heavenly position, the Antichrist, a man empowered directly by the devil, and we'll look at that in greater detail next week, and another man, the false prophet, empowered also by satanic miraculous power that are going to lead the whole world during this 7 years of tribulation on the earth. And next week we will look at all of this. But here, as we end, I want us to think about something. This isn't just about the future. Look with me at Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Talking about Satan when his final visitation rights to heaven are revoked. It says, "Then I heard a voice in heaven say, 'Now have come salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of our Christ, for the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down.'" But notice the next verse, "They," the saints, "they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Let me ask you today, are you overcoming the devil today? 7 times in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus said, "To those who overcome, I will give." 7 times he said to those. Revelation chapter 21, it says, "But though to those who overcome, they will share all of this," talking about the new heaven and the new earth. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Are you under the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you given yourself to Jesus Christ, and has He cleansed you and forgiven you because of your repentance? But here's the second thing. It doesn't stop there and say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb as though Jesus had to do it all. There's a part for us to play. You know that old song that says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. There's a part that you and I have to play too. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What's your testimony like? Is your testimony powerful for Jesus Christ? Do your words and your life share a testimony of consistency to the glory of Jesus Christ? Or is your testimony one of defeat at the hands of this devil, this dragon, this Satan? It says they overcame him. Let me ask, is that writing about you? Is that writing about you? They overcame him. Is that writing about you? And if it isn't, I don't care whether this is the tribulation period is next week or today or 10,000 years from now. None of us will be alive in 100 years. Or if they are, maybe the very littlest ones might make it. But most of us won't. And the day this world ends is the day, the end of the world for us, isn't it? Let me ask you, will it be said of you, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony? Because I can guarantee you, on the day you step into eternity, they're not going to ask you how much money you made, how big a car you drove, how nice your house was kept, how big your house was. What's going to matter is they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So if you're not overcoming him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, today is the day to fall on your face before God and say, God, I've got to change. Bow together. Lord, you have pulled back the veil to allow us to see beyond the curtain. Things that we never would have guessed at in our human imagination. Things that had we have guessed at, they would only be like science fiction. But because you have drawn back the veil and allowed us to see, we can be assured of the truth of what is now and will go on. That there is an enemy, an adversary, who is not all-powerful, but he's powerfuler than we are, whose goal is to damn every soul he can, to gain the worship of every person that he can deceive, to build a kingdom to his eternal hatred of all that is righteous and good. Oh Lord, I pray that even as we ponder the future, that we would not be lost in the future, dreaming about someday by and by, but that right now today we would overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. A testimony that is both spoken with authority and backed up by a holy life. Lord, if that is not the true state of where we're at today, that we would not take lightly and content ourselves with some human explanation of that justifies where we're at, but would instead cry out to you and say, God, give me this kind of salvation, a salvation where I am saved by the blood to have a word of testimony that is strong. In Jesus' name, amen.